Hello, and welcome to the Space Coast Pet Podcast, the podcast for pets and the people who love them. Now here's your host, veterinarian Dr. Roger Welton.
Greetings, pet lovers, and welcome to the Space Coast Pet Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Roger Welton, a.k.a. Dr. Roger, coming to you from the Florida Space Coast. I'm so excited about today's topic because if you've been listening to my podcast for a long time, I have covered this topic before, that is photobiomodulation as it pertains to therapy with class 4 therapy laser. The number of treatment applications and our ability to help patients has never been better with the newest classes of laser. So I'm going to definitely get into that and talk about some really great uses of it. Before we jump into that, we do have one listener email. Before I get to that email, I'd like to just make a quick announcement. I have, up until today, done my podcast hosting through Blog Talk Radio, and I drove that feed through syndication at Spotify and also at Apple Podcasts, I think it's called, formerly iTunes. And that, as of today, changed. We have integrated fully into Spotify for our hosting, so I want to just make sure the what's supposed to happen is my feed from the previous hosting, which is Blog Talk Radio, should redirect to the new hosting at Spotify, but just in case, make sure you go to my new show page directly at Spotify and follow the podcast. The link for the new show page will be in the show description, so just click on that. Make sure you continue to follow, otherwise you won't get updates in your inbox when I post new messages. There might be a few little hiccups along the way, just bear with us as we work those out. There's a lot of benefits to going to Spotify. I won't go through all that, but we felt it was the best decision to take the podcast into the future moving forward. So let's jump into our listener email. Dear Dr. Roger, thanks for the last episode. I feel the exact same way about breeders that try to make themselves feel self-important by contradicting the good advice of experienced veterinarians. I don't understand why so many people take them seriously, as if getting two animals together to do what comes naturally, then pop out puppies and kittens, gives them any semblance of medical expertise. I am a certified veterinary technician that now runs a doggy daycare and training facility. I have 2 training certifications and reward-based redirection training that rejects past correction-based / negative stimulus deterrent-based training. I share your frustrations with breeders that also think they know something about canine behavior and often offer terrible training advice to their customers. I love your podcast and listen to every episode, respectfully, Mandy. Great statement. That's really cool that you parlayed your certified veterinary technician training and supplemented that with behavioral training. I do love the reward-based training. That is the wave of the future. I think overall in the canine training profession and as a whole, when you listen to the veterinary clinical behaviorists, they're wholly rejecting sort of this whole concept that you need to dominate your dog, you need to be the alpha, because it's a pack-based mentality that's very, very flawed. So really nice to hear that a CVT went next level with that, and I think you're probably doing some great things out there. So thank you for your commentary. For anybody out there who is in the market for dog training, I'd certainly look for trainers like Mandy that do it right, because that is the wave of the future. With negative, and I'm no behavioral specialist, I actually defer like to people like Mandy that do have certifications, but I will say that when we integrate negative stimulus deterrence type training, what we can create is other consequences that are negative. So first off, there's a big question as to, you know, is it humane to be using fear as a technique to deter unwanted behavior? I don't think it is. And I feel that the whole behavior industry, canine behavior industry, is going in the direction of rejecting that. So yeah, great email, and I really thank you for it. So let's talk about photobiomodulation. It is not a new concept. It's been out for some time. In the, I would say, early 2010s, there was a lot of, I guess probably the biggest movement in the acceptance of therapy laser as a treatment modality. And at the time, it was still a very novel concept. I got my laser in about, my first laser, it was a class 4 in 2012, it was a cutting edge laser. And I actually purchased a laser because I was at a veterinary conference and I was just intrigued by this whole concept of utilizing focused LED energy into tissue to create a regenerative healing response, trigger mechanisms with intrinsic to the body to heal. So basically you're stimulating the patient's ability to do what the body does best, which is heal itself, and in a very side effect free way. So I'd heard about it, and there was a whole day of lectures that I sat through, and I couldn't get enough of the concept and then the case studies. And lo and behold, before I left the conference, I bought a laser. I was the first one to have one in my county. And as we promoted it and people found out about it, I really believe that the therapy laser probably got me my practice through the Great Recession. The Great Recession of that followed 2008 hit Florida first and foremost and hardest, and it was the last state to come out of it. And I had people coming from all over Central Florida to utilize the laser. And I'll get into the applications and why it became so popular. Now, I feel like most practices that have any semblance of being updated and state-of-the-art, most of them these days have therapy lasers and protocols in place. But with my new facility, as many of you know, in January, early this year, I opened up Premier Veterinary Care, which is a brand new facility in my hometown of Viera, Florida. And with it, I endeavored to really make the clinic premier, to really, really reflect its name and have all of the best possible equipment as treatment modalities and to best optimally treat and manage my patients. And one of those items was a cutting edge, the latest cutting edge laser called the Evo. This thing is incredible. It is focusing more joules of energy into the tissue than ever before. It has dual probes. It's got one probe that can treat like a 6-inch diameter. And so it's great for covering spines with all the energy it can infuse into a focused area. You actually don't have to treat an area for more than a minute and 6 seconds. So the time frame of the treatment has been cut down considerably. Also with the big probe, you hold it 8 inches away from the patient's body. So some animals don't like to be touched, especially if they're painful. So that is a great way to be able to treat them from a distance and make them more comfortable if they're not particularly comfortable at the veterinarian or they're painful. And then there's a more focused traditional probe that it's called the point to point, that it's really good for up close and focused areas like the ear canal, the digits, if in certain conditions that we'll see in the extremities, and also really good for the joints. So what's really neat is I have this one particular patient who has a bad back, all kinds of arthritis in his spine from thoracic 3 to all the way to sacral, so all the way to the pelvis. And this particular patient also has arthritic hips and knees. Well, we can use both probes at the same time. So we do the big probe on his spine. Simultaneously, we're doing the small probe on his knees and hips. And we knock out an entire spine and 4 joints in like 6 minutes. It's really incredible. So the results I've been seeing with this new laser, I saw great things happen with my last laser. Near paralytic patients that were suffering from herniated discs in their back, people couldn't afford the expensive decompression surgery necessary to surgically correct that, walking by treatment 4, 5, 6 and getting returned to function to the extent that quality of life is restored to a reasonable degree. So I'm making full recoveries. So I saw great things, but my new laser has been nothing short of miraculous. And so I really want to celebrate and get the word out there and let everybody know that this thing exists, because it's been incredible. So when I hired these two great technicians that were really being underutilized at their previous facility, they are so talented and so good at what they do. And luckily I got put in touch with them via a colleague that was doing some relief work up at that practice that they were at. And so they didn't have things like therapy laser, dental x-ray. And so when they first joined the practice, they were really excited to go to that next level medicine where their skills could really shine and they could expand their repertoire of their own role in the treatment of patients. The one thing that they had a little trouble wrapping their head around, though, was, you know, this whole therapy laser thing. Well, a few months in, and they are not skeptics at all. They are fully bought in because they have seen the incredible results of the therapy laser. So let's talk about how it works. What is photobiomodulation? What does it mean? So when we infuse LED energy into a focus area with a class 4 laser, you don't want anything weaker than class 4. Class 4 is exactly the amount of energy that you need to penetrate deep enough into the tissue to trigger these mechanisms. So the first thing we see is vasodilation. So on the arterial side, you're opening up the arteries, which carry oxygen and nutrient-rich blood, also healing cells, and we're bringing all that increased amount of blood focused to an area. On the venous side, we're draining off unoxygenated blood that needs to get accelerated to return to the lungs to pick up oxygen and, of course, other nutrients it picks up along the way from other organ systems. On the lymphatic side, when we dilate those, we reduce inflammation, because inflammatory clogging in the interstitial fluid, I'll explain what that is in a second, it creates lingering, not just discomfort, but clogging of inflammatory debris in the area. And so when we drain that out faster, we reduce edema, which edema is what causes swelling. We clear out the way for healing cells to come in and do what they do best, which is repair the tissue. We increase the immune apparatus. So you think of the lymphatic system. When I say interstitial fluid, what I'm referring to is all of our tissues at the cellular level are bathed in this fluid called interstitial fluid. And that fluid is constantly drained off and replenished. It's our lymphatic system that does that. And as the fluid travels through our lymph nodes that interconnect all the different lymphatic vessels, what happens is the nodes actually clean the fluid before returning it back to the interstitial space. So essentially, you could think of it as like the sewage plant of the tissues of the body. And when we dilate those lymphatic vessels, we increase the cleaning. That's the best way to put it. So all these things happen. At the endorphin level, we actually have a direct pain management effect. We release local endorphins when we infuse the energy into there. So endorphins are hormones that are the body's intrinsic pain management mechanism. So most people have heard of the runner's high. I'm a triathlete, so I'm well aware of the runner's high. When I am running, my first half mile isn't all that pleasant, but I know what's coming. Suddenly, as I approach getting towards mile one, suddenly I get a peaceful feeling. Suddenly I get sort of in this trance, and you get into your mojo, and suddenly it's like I get into like my meditation, because I'm so at peace, and yet I'm running and it should hurt, but I feel good. And that's called runner's high. That all comes from endorphins. So very commonly, especially in horses, when we use a therapy laser, you'll see them just, their head goes down and they just relax. They just go with that endorphin feeling. We do see our companion animals sometimes calm down as well. And we'll even see them walk out the door less painful than they were when they first came in prior to the treatment. So let's talk about applications. So what's really incredible is all the research that we've been doing. Primarily, our main use originally for therapy laser was, we just talked about, intervertebral disc disease. So disc cases where surgery is not an option for whatever reason, whether it's the age of the patient or it's financially prohibitive for the family, that was probably the most common use of my laser originally back in 2010 when I bought my first laser. Non-healing wounds was another common use. So let's say we had like a hit by a car and we had like a contaminated wound, road rash type of scenario. It was very, very helpful to stimulate healing by putting laser on it. And then of course arthritis, arthritic joints, we would hit them with the laser and it would facilitate helping to wean back the doses of non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, or even potentially wean them off the dependence on these drugs altogether. So since then, we've realized that really we can use it for any itis in the body, pretty much. You know, so you look at whether you have vasculitis, neuritis, arthritis, dermatitis, otitis, name your itis. If there's an itis, there's likely an application for the laser. I'm going to talk about two contraindications, the only two, but when we're looking at laser, let's talk about what we can use it for first. So we already covered intervertebral disc disease, arthritis, contaminated wounds, non-healing wounds. So now we've expanded into recently so otitis is basically ear infection, and some of these chronic ears can be very challenging to keep these infections away, because when a patient experiences a significant ear infection, a mechanism called epithelial migration is interrupted for 3 to 6 months. Epithelial migration is sort of the ear's self-cleaning mechanism. Won't get too much into science of that, but the ear has an ability to basically freshen itself, and that process is interrupted for 3 to 6 months after a significant infection. So one of the things that I've been doing is I get a really bad ear, it's inflamed, it's edematous, it's nasty. Yes, I'm gonna flush that ear out, I'm gonna treat with a topical, sometimes also systemic antimicrobial, but we can put a piece of like a plastic bag over the probe, and the joules of energy penetrate right through that bag, and then we just put it right over the ear prior to sending that patient home with treatment. We have them come in after a 2-week course of antimicrobial therapy, like I said, both either topical and or with oral antimicrobial, and we then hit it a second time with the laser. And what we have observed is that the recurrence rate of the reinfection of these patients has gone down precipitously. It's absolutely amazing. For cats, there is we commonly see chronic sinusitis. So cats, about 82% of them, usually in kittenhood, have been exposed to herpes virus. And herpes virus can go into a chronic form where they have recurring bouts of sinus infections. And the sinus infections could also affect their eyes. The herpes virus, it never really leaves the body. It stays latent in the host DNA. So a good example of a herpes virus in people that most of us are familiar with is chickenpox. You get chickenpox as a kid, your body gets it under control, your immune system controls it, but later on, when you may not be quite as healthy, or your immune system isn't quite what it used to be, suddenly it returns in the form of shingles, which can be very, very debilitating and painful. So we have some of these cats that have these kind of, most cats get over it and they will quell it for many years, and sometimes, very often, it never comes back. But some of these cats, you know, they get a little bit older, they have other health concerns, their immune system ain't what it used to be, and suddenly they got these chronic sinus issues. Some cats never kick the herpes, and they always have some level of congestion, and they're coming in every few months for, you know, steroid, antibiotics, and various things. Well, one of the applications that really is mind-blowing is we put the protective goggles on the kitty cat, and when they present with sinusitis. Yes, and I'm still going to do my traditional antihistamine therapy, sometimes a steroid antibiotic, but to sort of jumpstart the healing process and hopefully maximize the efficacy of these other modalities, we'll go right above the temporal sinus and laser that area, again, very carefully protecting the eyes. One of the contraindications is you cannot laser eyes. We wear protective eyewear when we are administering the laser, and the patients wear protective goggles. You'd be absolutely amazed how readily the patients, even the cats, accept their their protective goggles, and it always makes for great photo ops for the owners. So we apply the probe to the sinus, and we take the goggles off the kitty. We give the kitty like 2-3 minutes, and within that time frame, what we commonly see is they just start blowing snot like all over the room. It's like splatting on the walls. They get such a clean out of their sinus. They get decongested and they're feeling better before they even leave. It's amazing to behold. I just couldn't believe it. When I first learned of this application and I was told about what to expect, I thought there was some exaggeration going on. Folks, there is no exaggeration. So that's one of the cool applications. Many of you out there have allergic dogs, dogs that lick their feet, that itch and scratch. And so a common condition we see that arises from allergies is called a lick granuloma. So they're licking their feet and suddenly you look in between one of their paws and they have this almost mass-like pink structure. That's called a lick granuloma in common terms. It's technically called interdigital furunculosis. Essentially what happens is the webbing between the toes is very thin, sensitive skin. It is a very glandular skin, and so it's going to be prone to inflammatory changes stimulated by allergy. Also, those are structures, extremities, that are commonly in contact with the very things the pet is allergic to. So if they're allergic to the grass, things that linger in the grass, the feet often are first affected. So the patient gets inflamed, follicle gets clogged, a hair follicle, the follicle gets infected, the body then, in its ill-fated attempt to protect itself, walls off the infection with connective tissue. The connective tissue creates abnormal skin. Follicles adjacent to the connective tissue now become inflamed and infected, and you get this subsequent growing lesion that can literally look like a tumor between the toes. So in the past, when we didn't have laser, the only modalities we had was, okay, we're gonna have to do a course of steroids, we're gonna have to do several weeks of antibiotics, and by the way, your dog's gonna have to wear a collar to prevent licking for possibly 2 to 3 months. These things go away very slowly because they're part scar tissue, and the body's not gonna gobble that up and make it go away in a short period of time. Well, not anymore, because now we're gonna still use those modalities. We'll use the collar, of course, to keep the dog from licking. We are going to use the antibiotics to quell the infection, and we are also going to probably introduce a steroid. However, instead of 2 to 3 months, when we utilize a therapy laser 6-pack, so it's 6 treatments within a 2-week period, we go from 2 to 3 months to 2 to 3 weeks. That is a much more palpable situation for the owner, and most certainly for the dog. Imagine wearing a collar for 2 to 3 months. Awful for all parties involved. So that's another really cool modality we're looking at. I had a patient recently came in for a mass on his leg, a skin mass, and we took this thing off and it came back actually spindle cell sarcoma. The sarcoma was completely excised. The news was really good. I called up the owner, let them know, hey, the mass came back cancerous, but I have clean, healthy margins, and this type of mass rarely metastasizes. It was low grade and the prognosis is excellent. The owner replied, oh, that's great news, thank you. Unfortunately, he got his collar off, chewed his incision open. We had to go to the emergency clinic over the weekend. He made such a mess of it that they just couldn't close it, and it basically healing it as an open wound right now. So I had her come down for me to take a look at it with my own eyes, and this thing was probably about the diameter of an orange. And so the emergency clinic made the right call. There was just not any opportunity to reclose this thing. And so what has to happen is what's called second intention healing. So it has to basically heal from the ground up, laying down a type of tissue called granulation tissue. And then over that, new skin grows. And then the margins then undergo what's called wound contraction, get smaller and smaller and smaller. And then eventually you have a nice little scar there and life can go on. The process used to for a lesion this large take in upwards of 6 to 8 weeks. Well, since the cancer was completely cut out, the other contraindication, by the way, of the laser is cancer. The cancer was cut out. There was not a single cell left behind. I introduced a therapy laser. And subsequently, we got this thing down to the size of a quarter with 6 treatments over 2 weeks. We're probably going to hit it with about 3 more treatments. We should be done by next week. So what was 1 6 to 8 weeks is now 2.5 to 3 weeks. The dog's doing great, still in his collar, but should be out of it shortly because we were able to accelerate the healing times with the laser. So just amazing applications. I would just always bear this in mind when you're dog or cat may have any of the conditions we just described. When you're looking for particular care for a particular injury or disease process that is an itis, always think about the possibility of therapy laser. I would strongly advise, though, making certain your vet has the kind of laser that I'm talking about. So for example, my previous laser from my, I had two previous facilities. One I was a partner in, one I owned outright. The one I owned outright had the cutting edge laser. It's the same one that I purchased in 2010, still in use. The other practice, when we acquired it, had what's called a companion laser. It's a scanning laser, so it's different. I will tell you, I don't like the scanning lasers. They do help, but they don't work nearly as well as the point-to-point lasers that Cutting Edge makes. Particularly the Evo, I find the efficacy of it is probably 50 to 80% better than its predecessor that's in my old facility. And so I'm imploring the new owners of that practice to replace that laser like yesterday, because this one is so much better. So what you can do is, if you're interested in laser therapy, call the company Cutting Edge Laser. You can just Google Cutting Edge Laser, click on the veterinary division, and they can actually tell you what veterinarians in your area have the Evo laser. You can set up a consultation with them. With the laser comes all of the latest protocols. Those protocols are updated on a yearly basis. So Cutting Edge, once you buy the laser from them, they service your laser, but they also always, each year, give us an updated list of protocols, because protocols change. Science is always changing. We're always evolving. Some things don't change, but you know, we do know that what we thought was true 5 years ago even may not be true today. So protocols evolve. We're always staying up to date with that. Photobiomodulation, ladies and gentlemen, it is nothing short of magical. I find it such a crying shame that it's not utilized in human medicine as much as it could be. Main reason for that is because basically, if health insurance won't cover a treatment modality, doctors are not going to recommend it. Not even chiropractors are going to recommend it. Insurance has to cover it. The only indication that is covered by insurance for class 4 laser in people, the only indication currently, is plantar fasciitis. That is it. That's such a waste of resource, and it's so sad. So, amazingly, as in many other cases, when we compare it to our human medical counterparts, our pets are getting better treatment because of therapy laser. They're getting access to better modalities, and modalities that are side effect free. So always bear it in mind. That's my episode for tonight. Remember, I am now on Spotify 100%. I will be syndicating through Apple Podcasts as well, as I was before, in any other syndication modalities. But just to be sure, click on the link in the show page description, or the episode page description, and click on the show page link, and you can go ahead and follow there so you don't get any interruption in notifications of new episodes. Thank you, as always, for listening. Mandy, thank you for your email. Talk to you soon.